like, what? Good morning, church. Good morning. We are going to start because it's 10:45, and we're a church that starts on time every Sunday. Except last Sunday, but Gaylene opened, so... So we're going to get into worship here in a little bit, and really excited. Thank you guys for being here with us, everybody that could make it this Sunday, and everybody that's on Zoom or watching on Facebook. I had a sense in my spirit that part of what the Lord wanted to do this morning. And the word that I got in my heart when I started to ask God, like, God, what do you want to do? Because I think God wants to show up, and that's almost like too apparent. Like, yes, obviously God wants to be here. So he's going to do that. He's already here. We don't got to do anything to get him to come. We don't have to, you know, look a certain way or do a certain thing or say a certain prayer. He's here, right? He shows up, all right? And what I heard the Lord say was, I want my children to know that this is a safe space. I want my children to know that this is a space where they can come as they are and that I'm ready to receive them. I'm ready to receive them. There's a story. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is the story in John 8. And it's the story of the woman who's caught in adultery, okay? And if you don't know the story, the religious people, they catch this woman who's been caught in adultery, and they bring her to Jesus, okay? And when I read the Bible, I like to, like, get in the stories. Like, okay, what does it say? She was caught in adultery, okay? So without getting too graphic, she got caught doing something she shouldn't have been doing. It's very possible that this woman was even naked being brought before Jesus. And they want her they want him to judge her. They're testing him. What do you say? The law says she should be stoned. What do you say, Jesus? Right? They say, look at this dirty woman in her filth and caught up doing stuff that she should not be doing. Right? And it says Jesus starts writing, and he bends down and starts writing in the dirt, writing in the sand. We don't know what he was writing. We could only assume, and, you know, everybody has their different thoughts of what he was writing. But nevertheless, one by one, the people that came to judge the woman starts leaving, right? And Jesus looks at the woman and says, where are your accusers? The space that Jesus created in that place was a safe space. Was Jesus okay with her mess? No. But was he okay with his daughter standing in front of him? Yes. He wasn't okay with the mess, but he was okay with her because he knew that you're so much more than what you're doing right now.
Come on.
And so what I want to say to you guys this morning is that Jesus has created a safe space in this place. At One Life Family Worship on 34th and Tyson, he's created a space for us to come in as we are. And if we allow him in our filth and in our mess, whatever happened yesterday, whatever happened this week, whatever happened this morning on your way to church, God is saying, I want you to lay it down.
Yeah.
Where are your accusers? They're not here because I'm here to love you. So when we worship this morning, I want us to worship from a place where our hearts are laying down our burdens, are laying down the things that have brought us strife, laying down our worries, laying down our sickness. If you need a healing today, Jesus is a healer.
Yes.
2,000 years ago on the cross, he died not only for your sins, but for your afflictions. If you need restoration in your family, if you are praying for a brother or for a sister or for a friend, lay them down at the altar this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Come on, let's stand. I'm going to pray, and we're going to get into worship. And again, just position your heart to a place where we are laying down. We are laying down everything to you today, Lord. We posture our heart towards you, Jesus. God, you are the safe space for me because I am your child. And when a child comes to their father, as a child, they receive a father. So we thank you so much, Jesus, that you're here, that you're moving. That you're moving before we sing a song, before we hear a word, before we do community. You're here already. We don't have to do anything, Jesus. And we thank you that you're here. We lift up your name, Jesus. We lift up your name, Jesus, because you are holy. You are holy. You are holy. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can bring anything to you, God, and you're not shocked by it. You're not turned off by it. But you say, child, come to me. Come to me. Lay it down to me. I can take care of it, because when you bring it to me, I give you something back. I give you peace back. I give you joy back. I give you restoration back. And we thank you, Jesus, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you that we get to worship you today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's worship, church.
Yeah.
So I sense this heaviness. There's this heaviness here. And why? Why do we have this heaviness? This is your place. This is your place to come forth and overcome whatever it is that's weighing you down, because you don't have to be heavy. You deserve to be free. You deserve to be light. Come forward and overcome whatever heaviness is weighing you down. There's a line in the song that says, when you breathe, every creature catches their breath. And every time we sing that, I feel the breath of God upon me. And this is what he wants for you, that when you hear his voice, you feel his breath in your life, because he breathed our life into us.
Yes.
He is our every breath. He is our every single breath. Think of that.
do? Is it get on your knees? Is it cry? Is it yell maybe? God wants that. He wants your heart. He wants your mind. He wants your life. And if he's calling out to you today, I just pray that in faith you accept that and you answer that call. Even if you don't know what it's going to look like, even if it feels strange, just hear your father, your papa, your daddy calling you out saying, baby, come home. Baby, come home. I miss you and I want to take that burden from you. I want to take that pain, that hurt, whatever the world has done to beat you down. I want to hold you and I want to lift you up in my arms, baby. So just call, answer the call. Come forward if you need to come forward. If you need prayer, we have so many people that would love to pray with you, talk to you. You're at home in this church. You've come home in this church. You are not an outsider. You are in a safe place, and we just want to love on you. If you need love today, just come forward. Come forward and tell somebody that you just need love. Because we want to love you. Because he loves us. And he loves you. Doesn't matter what you've done, he loves you.
you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Can you just do an exercise with me this morning? In heaven, it says that the four living beings, which is a lion, an ox, face of a man, and an eagle flying, always say around the throne, holy, 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 holy. They're amazed at the glory of God. They're saying, we're astounded at who you are. We're astounded at your glory. We're astounded. They're constantly saying it. They're not saying it just because they're on a repeat. They're saying it because that is what's coming out of their very being when they see God. So Lord, just say that. Holy, 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 holy. Holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and is to come. Holy, 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 holy. Lord, you are holy. You are mighty. You are glorious. You are victorious, Lord. You are an overcomer, Lord. You have made us overcomers. Lord, we thank you that you are the one, Lord, that has started a good work in each and every one of us, God. And you will be the one, Lord, to faithfully complete it to the day of Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you that no weapon forged against us will prosper. Lord, we thank you that nothing of the enemy will come against us to defeat us, Lord, because you are the victor in our lives. And we receive that today, Lord. We receive, Lord, that you overcame, Lord, the grave, death, hell. And Lord, you have made us, Lord, your kingdom of priests, Lord. And we receive that truth into our lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, team. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's see. I think I need my... Unless you got it going there. Okay, perfect. So how's everyone doing today? Good? Yes. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good, isn't he? Come on. So we have a couple announcements here. This coming June 12th in Eric and Nancy Lopez's backyard on Saturday night outside, for those of you who want to stay away from any kind of a COVID activity, we're going to have a worship night. So that's just going to be a night when we get together. We're going to worship for an hour or so. Then afterwards, we'll have a few snacks and just enjoy fellowship together. So I encourage all of you to make it. Now, that's going to be the first one. We're going to have one again in July and another one in August. We'll see how far we go into the year with them. But years ago, we used to have a Saturday night prayer meeting that when we had a sign-up sheet, we went all over, actually, the valley, and we prayed at different homes. We worshiped. We didn't always have live worship. Sometimes we did. But the Lord really showed up. And how many know that when we give him time, he likes to give us time back? And so, you know, it's not saying that you have to go to that to receive God's grace or to receive his presence, because all you have to do is just say, Lord, I'm here, I know you're here, and I receive your presence right now. But it's good when we gather together. It's good when we fellowship. Koinonia is the word. It means to exchange and share lives with each other and share hearts. So praise God. I encourage everyone to make it to that. Also, I want to let you know that we have a couple of different ways to give at this church. We don't take an offering. We receive an offering. And so up here we have a chest, and there's some cards you can fill out if you want to designate anything that you want your offering to go to. In the back, there's also a place where you can put your offering. Also online through PayPal, if you go to onelifefamilyworship.com, we're going to use the .com because most people are more familiar with that. So it's just the whole name of our church with a .com behind it. And an olfw.net, and you'll see a little donation button. Click on that PayPal link, and you can give. So thank you to everyone who does give, to keep the lights on, to pay for the building, to just make sure that we can be here on Sundays, because it's our house. So praise the Lord. So I want to go ahead and have Zeke Villalobos come up. He's going to pray for the nation. He's going to also pray for the city of Yakima and the county. I put up a new verse today. What we've been doing is ever since the administration has changed, it made me more aware how much more we need to pray for our government, how much we need to pray for those that are in authority over us, those that have rulership, those that have the ability to make decisions that maybe will affect our lives. And the Bible in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, the first thing I want you to do is pray. This is the Message translation. So he's saying, the first thing I want you to do is pray. Then he says, pray every way you know how. I like the Message sometimes. He just says, pray any way you can for everyone you know. Pray especially for rulers and their governments to rule well so we can be quietly, about our business of living simply in humble contemplation. I love that, in humble contemplation. In other words, it's not so stressful. Our lives aren't so crazy that we can't let a quietness to our hearts and hear the Lord. So that's awesome. And then we have a city map, and we're actually going to get one in the foyer here pretty soon. But I'm going to go and let Zeke pray now. Thank you, Zeke. Appreciate it.
Well, Pastor Mike asked me to pray, and I was like, hey, why not? You know, I've been living here a long time, so, I mean, I know Yakima, I've seen its ups and downs. But first, God put something in my heart to thank our visitors for coming. He says that he sees you. He has a place for you here, and thank you for coming to visit our family, because he sees your fire. He sees it. He heard it. And he sees your commitment back there. He sees that you're coming every week. And in Armando, he wants to tell you that thank you for bringing your family. You have a place here, and that God has made a home for you here and your family. He loves you, he says. He loves you, and he thanks you for making that decision to bring your family just to any place but to go to the Lord. He wants to thank you for that. And he gave me the scripture to read to you. I don't know where you are in your life, Armando, but he says, read this. To not just you, but the other fathers, that God will bless you because you're a father, and he would bless your children through you, is what he says. But this is the scripture he put in my heart. He says, the father of a righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. So he just wants to let you know that. And Cody, too, he loves you, man. He knows that you're here. He knows your commitment. He will bless you, Cody, and he will bless your family through you. And also you, Armando, thank you. I mean, I can go all day with what he's told me, but it's hard to decipher everything because it comes so fast. So I've learned one thing is to, when God speaks, to share it.
Be faithful.
Be faithful. So let's pray over Yakima, and all I just say is, hey, you know, if all I need is just so that you agree with me. We pray for the Yakima County. We pray for every family. We pray for everyone who lives here, for generations to come. We pray that you bless us, Lord. Prosperity, health, happiness in this valley, Lord. I want to pray for the nations, Lord. I want to pray for our administration to make the right decisions.
Yes.
When he sees that our beloved Israel is being attacked, Lord, he sees what's going on. He wants you to know. He wants his message to go out to President Biden and Kamala Harris to de-escalate what's going on there, because he loves us. He has a place for us. He needs you to do that for him, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. We're sitting.
Amen.
Sitting
we can just go home after that.
Amen. Woo. That's good. We're sitting back here in the chair again. It's been since I don't know when. It's been back in April, I think. Wow. Yeah.
Long time.
And
so, all y'all that are newer from that point on, we did this for a lot of years.
Yeah, 3 years.
And it's fun.
And the reason why we do it is not just so that we can. you know, say, you know, we're a husband and wife preaching team. We do it because we truly believe that we are one.
Yeah.
And that we have a oneness that goes beyond, you know, just the certificate that we get from the government that says we're married, or from the, you know, the thoughts sometimes that we have together at the same time and speak. But we have a oneness in God, and that we can complement each other. She can sometimes share things from her perspective of something that I say that I just can't communicate the same way as she can, and vice versa.
Right.
And so we honor women here at One Life Family Worship because women are a gift from God. Obviously, none of us would be here without a woman, right? I mean, because it was necessary to have the birthing experience from a woman. But above and beyond that, I believe God has a special anointing on women. I believe that women have a voice that only they can communicate. A man can't communicate the same voice as a woman can because she has a different perspective in relationship to God than we do. Just like Zeke was encouraging fathers here, it's we have a view of that you guys don't have, but you have a view also of other things of God that we don't see. Keep in mind that when Adam was created, he was created with both Eve and him in him. He was once.
Say that again.
Adam was created with both Eve and him in him. And God took out from his rib half of Adam and he made woman. And so that other part of Adam is necessary for Adam to be whole, complete. That's just like the line from that one movie, right? You complete me. Yeah. Well, God fully completes us, but in a relationship like what we have.
Right.
We do help complete each other because God has given us that ministry of marriage, because marriage is a ministry, folks. It's not just a covenant, which it is a covenant, but it's also a ministry. We have an opportunity to build each other up, speak into each other's lives, to encourage each other or tear down. But the other is better. It's better when we're building each other up and not tearing each other down.
And for those of you that are married and have not yet experienced that oneness that we're talking about, we've been married for 27 years and it really has only been like the last 10 that we have felt
that
oneness. And we came to that understanding during a couple's ministry time where God really, really showed up on our behalf during communion at that couple's time downstairs. And so if you haven't got it yet, don't despair. It can be your future in the Lord. That's number one. And number two, if you don't have a man, ladies, Jesus is your man.
Yeah.
He is the best man you'll ever have.
And if you don't have a man, woman, right? I mean, if you don't have a woman, man, right?
Oh, yeah.
There we go.
Yeah,
Jesus is.
Just stop talking Jesus for a second.
Jesus is your. Before I mess up.
Yeah.
That's why she's here. No, let me do that again. Men, if you're single, because when I was single, there we go. Jesus fulfilled me.
Yes.
Before I had
he
you.
He did.
Yep.
He did. And so, you know, we're all on a different journey, but here is family, no matter how
Amen.
We look at it. So you hang on with us. We'll get you in there.
And no matter how much we mess things up,
yeah,
right?
And we do.
And we do. So about the beginning of last month, this month, I guess, I shared on a message based on a communication that I had with somebody, and they were talking about how this time that we're living in is just not normal. And that it wasn't like they were saying, I'm afraid, but they were really, I could hear in their voice that there were concerns and serious concerns. And it's like, there was like, oh, what are we going to do? What's going to happen? I mean, you know, and this was a pastor. Like, how are we going to move forward? And I just told him, I said, listen, we were made for this not normal. We were made for this time.
And so I'm going to go ahead and just briefly go up. This has become a part two, but I'm going to briefly go over just part one just to give the points. So if we look here, how were we made for this not normal? In other words, how were we made for this abnormal time that we're living in? Because we were made for this time.
Yeah.
We were picked and chosen to live in this day. It's not like we just showed up in whatever year you were born by accident and God, I'll go ahead and use you. No, God preordained our lives. It says here that in 1, 2, and 3, we were chosen for this time. It is no accident that we are here in this day and time. Point two is we have been chosen by God to be in Christ in this day and time. So we've been chosen to be in Christ also in this time. Not just to be living in this day, but we were chosen to be in Christ. And we have been given the tools to be equipped for this day and time. So we're meant to be here, we're meant to be in Christ here, and we're meant to have the tools and the equipping that we need to be here now to be the representative of God that we're called to be. So looking at this, because we were chosen for this time, it is no accident that we are here in this date and time. The scripture is, go ahead and read it, babe, if you can. Right there.
Acts 17:26-27 says, "And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their preappointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us."
So he has what? It says determined on earth their pre-appointed times. And he's talking to individuals that didn't know God at this time. Paul is communicating to Athens scholars and philosophers, and he's trying to communicate to them about the unknown God that they worship. Mm-hmm. And he's letting them know that they're not very far from him at all. But he's also letting them know that they're living in the time they're living in because of God. Mm-hmm. So just like with them, it's with us. Mm-hmm. He chose their boundaries. Have you ever wondered, like, why wasn't I born in Calcutta, India? Or why wasn't I born in, you know, Kenya, Africa, and as a starving child? We wonder, right? Sometimes you ever thought of that? But God chose for you to be here. You have a place in this place, in this time.
And what I love about that is that if the ladies of the Tuesday night Bible study will remember, we talked about that on Tuesday night, about our limits, where he's placed us in our limits and graced us with the things that we need in our limits. I did not know that he was going to be sharing part two. Like, that's how God is. Like, however many there were of us, 5, 4, I can't remember, but that's what the Lord had put on my heart to share, not knowing that we were going to share this Sunday. So what I'm saying to you is, it's very important to him that we get this message, that we're in Yakima, Washington, that we are in this church this minute for a purpose and a plan. And it's for an equipping, so that when we go back out into the limits of Yakima, we can do what he's called us to do, so that others can receive him too. Yeah. We didn't get it just for you. You didn't get the kudos from Jesus just so you could make it through the day, even though that's good. He did it so that others could be ministered to by you and through him, through you. Yes.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. So we have these, like you said, limits, boundaries that God has given us. But we also have this placeholder in time that he's placed us. And it's for a reason, and it's for a purpose. And we'll go ahead and look at that further. So it says here in part two, we have been chosen by God to be in Christ in this day and time. Yeah. Now, this is a statement in Christ that I think a lot of people can just kind of read over and not really grasp what it's saying. In Christ means in the anointed one. You could, if you were to actually say what the word Christ means, also means in the Messiah. We have been chosen to be in the Messiah. for this day and time.
And him and us.
And him and us. But this idea of being in Christ, what it means is that we, as individuals, before we knew God, it says that we lived and moved and had our being in God. So we actually lived, moved, and had our existence in God. But to be in Christ means that now what has happened is we're no longer living outside of a covenant with God, existing by God himself. We're now living in God, in God himself, in God. So what we've now done in covenant, because when we receive Jesus as our Savior, when we say, Lord, yes, I receive what you've done for me on the cross. I take that work of the cross and I appropriate it or I apply it to my life. And now I'm going to live for you with your help. How many know you can't live for Jesus without his help? And you can try all you want. I've tried it for many years. You can't do it. You have to have God's help to serve God. And he's willing to help us, which is awesome.
So could you explain, just the last 10 years again, when we have done weddings, he has actually used the word instead of vow, say your vows, would you please say your covenants? Could you explain the difference between a covenant and a vow and why covenant, the word covenant and the actual concept of covenant is so important to the Lord?
So a covenant is a promise that is made, really a true covenant is really can be made by just one person. That's why one person in a marriage, if it's starting to struggle, can maintain the covenant. They can say, no, I'm going to hold on to the commitment, the vows, the communication we made to each other and to God. Remember, it's not just vows to you're making to each other or vows that you're making to the witnesses. It's vows that you're really making before God. That you're saying, before God, I'm taking this woman to be mine for the rest of my existence here on this earth. And with God's grace. Again, I'm not gonna be able to do it all on my own. God's going to help me. But I've made that commitment. So a covenant is a promise, but that it's not a promise that can be broken, which is crazy. So a covenant is something that is made that is basically forever. A covenant is not something that you say, oh, you know, I'm going to go ahead and you know, do this with you tomorrow and then you don't show up. You know, a covenant is I'm going to be with you for the rest of your life and my life.
Mm-hmm. So a covenant cannot be broken, but a vow can.
Yes. I mean, obviously people break their covenant. They break their marriage documents
or but in God's
through
eyes,
divorce.
It's not broken.
In God's right? eyes, it's never really. Well, that's the thing is that you're getting into like a deep
Sorry.
Subject now. But the point being, a covenant is something that God really reinforces himself. True covenant is God with us.
Right.
And we receive the covenant of the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, that he said, this is the new covenant or the new testament in my blood.
Right.
This is the new promise I'm making, not like a promise like Moses and the children of Israel had.
Right.
This is a promise that Jesus said, if you receive me and believe in me, you're saved.
Right.
It's that simple. Because the covenant's on his end. All we do is agree with the work that he's already done. Same thing here. We have been chosen by God to be in Christ in this day and time. So what do to be in Christ? We agree with that.
Right.
See, we're already living and moving and having our very existence in God. In other words, before you knew Jesus, and if you don't know Jesus now, your existence is in God. Your very existence is from God. Your very life, like we said earlier, your breath that you have is from God.
Right.
Your heart ticking is from God. Everything in your life is from God that is good.
Mm-hmm.
He is the source of our life.
Right.
But in Christ, we now know he's the source, but we're not also just saying he's my source. It's saying I'm now being placed in the source.
Yeah, that's what I want.
So in other words, where the source ended up becoming something that I was able to take advantage of because even through ignorance, he kept me alive. Now my very source of life is understood, and now I can choose to remain in Christ. See, we can choose to be out of Christ by just not following him, which is a sad thing.
So it's
we can still have our live and have our being in God. He's still causing our existence, but we can be out of Christ.
Right.
We can be out of the being in him because we've now chosen to walk in our own ways.
So it's like working on a battery, but when the battery needs charging, if you don't plug in.
There you go.
I'm just saying, if you don't plug in, you're not going to have any of that power. You're going to run out in your own self.
Amen.
So we got to plug into the source.
All right, Ooh. Let's look at a verse here.
Okay.
I think it'll help explain it a little bit better. And try it, because these are a fairly deep subject. 2 Timothy 1:8-9. No, you're good.
Okay, 8. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God.
Verse 9.
Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling.
Come on.
Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began.
Before time began. See, that's the key. His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. I know that's hard for us to even begin to even comprehend, because all of us are so time
oriented.
Yeah, and captured, because time is our life. But not for God. God, before time began, put us in Christ. Chose us to be in Christ. The big word that we use, predestined us to be in Christ Jesus. See, that's why we should not fear about the day we live in. We should not fear what tomorrow might bring, because he's got us, no matter what happens. Should a World War III start, or should a nuclear bomb go off somewhere? I mean, all those terrible things, or the next plague come. Heaven forbid, seriously. But we should not fear. Because why? Because he's got us.
Yeah.
He had us in the beginning before time began. So he's definitely got us now.
Yeah, and before time began, he knew each one of us would be where we are today, like right now, like this minute. And so when the prophetic word was coming out from Zeke for Armando, is that right?
Yeah.
And then again for Cody, God knew you would be here today to hear that. It wasn't by chance that you are sitting under the anointing today. He predestined you to be here today to hear that word for your life. He predestined you to be here today so that you could be strengthened by the prophetic word, so that you can continue to be the fathers that you are. Do you see how much he loves you? Like, oh my goodness, like, he didn't have to do that. He didn't have to speak to Zeke. Zeke didn't have to be obedient. And you didn't have to be here, but you are. Hallelujah. Jesus planned this out, and you're under that anointing. Therefore, oh, you should just be like a tiger and go get them, boys. You know what I mean? Like, this is a powerful day for us that we're living in. And we don't have to do it without Jesus. You don't have to be the battery operating, hoping that when you turn it off, it'll recharge a little bit so you can continue on. You plug yourself into the source. Get it where you need to get it, and it's come straight from God.
He is the source. Amen. That's good. Let's look at Ephesians 1:3-4.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ.
Now hold on just a second. Listen to that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every. Not with one, not with two, not with a few. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Okay?
Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world.
Come on,
that is preaching itself, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love.
Amen. just as he chose us in him. Before time began, before the foundation of the world, it's the same thing. The world, this world system is where time exists.
Yeah.
It was before then that he chose us to be in Christ. That's crazy, guys. This means that we're part of the full cosmic plan. Not just the plans for whatever year you're born and whatever you, we're part of the full plan of God.
Yeah.
We have a eternal existence in God because we were in God before time began. That gives us a connection with eternity even before we die. I know it's deep. She's like, oh,
so good.
My gosh.
No.
Ephesians 2:8-10.
For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. Again, we're here by no accident. We're not here by chance. Some people say, well, it was an accident. My mom and dad didn't mean to have me. No, that's a lie. You're here because God chose you to be here.
Okay, I have a scripture. So Ephesians 2:6. Says, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms. Because we are united with Christ Jesus, so God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness toward us, and show in us all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. We're going to be examples in the grand scheme of thing, in the new heaven, in the new earth, of God's love for his people that he chose.
Us. Amen.
Us.
That's good. Yeah, that's good.
Examples.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Amen.
That's so
great. Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Okay, part three. So we have been given the tools to be equipped for this day and time. So not only were you chosen to be in this day and time, and not only were you chosen to be in Christ in this day and time, but you've been given everything that you need. We already read that in that one scripture. Everything that that you need in Christ Jesus has already been given to you. What happened? Did you lose your...
No, I just was looking. It's already in.
Oh, it's already noon. Okay. Yeah, we have been given the tools to be equipped for this day and time. I think we can. So let's look at 2 Peter 1:2-4.
Hold on. Got to get it. All right. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue.
As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So can I just ask, what is all things?
All things.
Is it just all things for our life, though? I mean, everything that we need in life, is he given? No, life and godliness. So it's through his divine power. It's through who he is, because he is our source. Go ahead and put it back there for a second. He has given to us, that's not just to the writers of that, to all of his believers, all things that pertain to life and godliness. So you're not lacking anything that you need to be alive in this time. You're not lacking any tools, any equipment. You're not lacking any faith, because even faith is included in all things. Peace is included in all things. Love is included in all things. Truth is included in all things. Wisdom, counsel, might, strength, whatever you want to say is an attribute of God, it's included in all things.
It's in there.
We're not lacking anything. What are we lacking? We're lacking the trust that we're putting in, the truth that we have all things. We're lacking in believing that we have all things. That's where we're lacking. We're lacking in letting the renewing of our mind change the way that we live to be someone who lives and exists in all things that God has for them. That's what we're lacking. Unfortunately, it's not on God's side, it's on ours. And it's just us lacking to believe. Because he's finished the work. What did Jesus say on the cross? Final things he said. It is finished. And then the Holy Spirit was sent 50 days later. And then the whole church
exploded.
And we're still part of that same explosion. All right, Romans 8, 29 through 32.
For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for all of us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?
All things. Now, does all things meet at a Mercedes-Benz in your three-car garage? I've heard some people believe that, but that's not really what he's talking about. That's using, I think, your faith for something that's pretty petty. Because I believe the all things is what his heart beats with, and that's to see none perish, to see this lost and dying world come to life, the very life that will resurrect them even before they die. See, that's the beauty. When we receive Christ, we then experience a resurrection even before we die. And then Jesus said, because of that resurrected life, really, you're never going to die. I love that. Because you've already been resurrected, then death has no sting. Death has no victory. The grave is simply an illusion. Amen. So I'm here to tell you, you were made for this time. You have been born in this time for a destiny in God. You're not here by accident. You're here by choice. This is a pro-choice message. God chose you before the foundation of the world. Isn't that amazing? God has the ultimate pro-choice. He chose you before you even knew you existed.
I love that.
Yeah. Well, it's because it's been that has become a lie. The enemy always takes God's truth and twists it. He has ultimately chosen us to be in him, to be in Christ, before the world ever began, before time ever began, before the first Timex ticked its first second. He chose us. And why? Said to be conformed to the image of Jesus. We were having a men's group. And Eric, I hope I quote this right. I don't always quote my own sayings again. But basically what I said, God did not give you Jesus just to save you. He gave you Jesus to transform you to be like Jesus. He didn't save you just to go to heaven. He saved you to be like Jesus. That's why he saved you. Heaven is just a byproduct of being like Jesus. That's where Jesus is. But he chose you to be like him now. It says in 1 John, as he is, so are we right now in this world. That's why. Because we have been given all things. So what do I want from all of us? Start to remember that God has given us everything we need. Start to remember that we're here for such a time as this. Start to remember that we have been predestined, preordained for good works that God has laid out for us to walk in. And how can we accomplish those? Because we're in Christ. We're not just in a Christian church organization. We're not just Christians, you know, with a label. No, we're in Christ. There's a difference. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to gather together. And Lord, we know that you are the one, Lord, that holds our future, Lord, in your hands. And Lord, we know that you have planned us from the beginning of time, before the beginning of time, to be here now in this day, in this hour, in this moment, in this church, listening online, Lord, that you have called us to this day for such a time as this. And Lord, we're not meant to just hide in the mountains and have the cave close over on us so that we can be protected. Lord, we're meant to be a light shining on a hill. We're meant to be that lighthouse, Lord, warning those that are trying to come into the harbor, Lord, to stay away from the cliffs and the rocks and the reefs, Lord. Lord, you've called us, Lord, to be guides, Lord, to those that are trying to find their way spiritually, Lord. And we have the truth because you are the truth, the way and the life. And we have you. We have all of you. We're not lacking any of God, Lord. We don't need to continue to just stay on our knees to have you fill us, Lord. You've filled us. We need to start believing, Lord, what you've already accomplished in us. So, Father, right now, we just, by faith, even if we're not saying it, Lord, by faith, we receive the truth that we have all things. We receive the truth, Lord, that we have every tool we need, Lord, to be who you've called us to be. Lord, that we're meant to be in Christ in this day, in you, in covenant relationship with you. The very source of life, Lord, we're in. And so, Lord, I just bless everyone right now that's hearing this message and ask you to transform them in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're going to sing just another worship song. So I just ask you to just search your heart and see if the Lord is putting anything on your heart that you need to give to him so that you can be in Christ, remain in Christ, and grow and become who you've been called to be. In Jesus' name.
the thing that we sing in here, the line that says, we will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Our testimony is not all precious light. Our testimony is in the dark places we have been, that God has pulled us from, that we have lifted our hearts to, and that He has brought glory through that for Him and for our lives. That's our testimony. So the things that the enemy wants to send through your head and make you feel like you should be feeling shame, that's from the enemy. That's not from God. Pastor Gaylene always says to us, God is not surprised by where you're at, and He is not surprised by where you've been. Yeah. He will use it. Yes. Give it to Him. Don't let the enemy keep you in shame. Keep the freedom that God gives you, and let those things be your testimony.
Yes. Yes, baby. Yes.
Come on, Eric. I can see it all over you.
Yeah. Yeah, we thank you, Jesus, for who you are. We thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. God, we thank you that because you overcame, we overcame, God. We thank you because you're victorious, we're victorious, God. There's nothing we can do anymore because it is finished. So, God, I just bless your children today. I bless, Lord, their lives, their families, their marriages, their parenting, their jobs, their health. And, God, we just declare, Lord, that this week, Lord, this week we will see your miracle power take place in our lives, God. Lord, that you would give us opportunity, Lord, to experience the miracles, Lord, in our life, God. You will bring people in our life, Jesus, to pray for. You will bring people in our life, Lord, to release, Lord, the power of God, to shine the light of Jesus. And we thank you so much, Jesus, that you're with us. And we thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Bless you guys. Have a great week. And we'll see you guys next time.